that we can come into your presence this morning freely. And Lord, we can just worship you and we can just spend time with you and we can interact and relate with you this morning. We thank you that when two or three are gathered, you're there also, Lord. And Holy Spirit, you're welcome here this morning. And we invite you to come and speak to each of us this morning, Lord. And we pray that not one heart would leave the same way that they entered in, Father. We thank you that we can come around your word. And your word's powerful, Lord. And we give it its rightful place. We give it authority in our hearts and lives this morning, Lord. We just thank you that we can be here this morning. And we praise you and we worship you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks to the musicians. You wouldn't know that they're a little light on. Great time this morning. Well, trust you had a fantastic Christmas during the week and you got to do something with family and friends. And, you know, Christmas is one of those times where I suppose like any festive time, whether it be Christmas or Easter, it can bring a range of emotions. And we pray that this week that no matter what the emotion that was raging, you got time to just reflect on the real meaning of Christmas and celebrate the birth of Jesus. And we had a good time here and Christmas morning. And a couple of weeks ago, I started a sermon that I'm going to finish today. It was all about this time next year. I was just sort of looking at, like, today's the last Sunday of the decade. Like, the last Sunday of the year, the last Sunday of the decade. And it's sort of like a good time where we just get to sit back and consider what the future may hold and consider what's going to happen tomorrow. And a couple of weeks ago, I think it was now, we were plonked in 2 Kings chapter 4 and we sort of looked at I may have read verses 1 through 17, but we were predominantly looking at chapter 4 verses 1 through 7. Well, today we'll move and go to verses 8 through to 17. I'm really looking forward to just closing out the decade and opening the door of what will happen as we move into our future together. And we read this chapter, it was in Ezekiel 36, and I remember I commented about how I said 2 Kings and Ash went there, and then I said Ezekiel, and then Ash was sort of in two minds, where do I go? And we read this verse and it was God speaking. It says, I will settle you in former times and will do better for you than at your beginnings. Is that we have a God who will do better for us in our future than what he's done at our beginnings. Is that we're designed to do much better than our beginnings. Because that's what God's word says. You see, he'll do better for us than at our beginnings. Is that God speaks forth that tomorrow and the next day will be better than our current day. You see, he could take a shepherd boy and make him a king. He could take a man by the name of Moses who had a speech impediment and make him the great deliverer of a nation. He could take a man by the name of Joseph that was sold into slavery as a teenager and over a process of seasons would elevate him to be second in charge of a whole nation. You see, his God has better days ahead of us than what is at our beginnings. You see, and the premise of my sermon the other day, it was, if our past and our present are better than our future, then we have a problem, because God declares better days ahead for you and I. And this is sort of like my recap, I suppose. It's like, I don't want to move into the next part without people having the opportunity to recap what we spoke about, because the kingdom of God is a kingdom of progress. It's a kingdom of enlargement. It's a kingdom where you and I are designed to move from faith to faith, from glory to glory. You see, God's got better days ahead than at what your actual beginnings look like. You see, and I've been plonked in this passage of Scripture in 2 Kings. 2 Kings, and if you've got your Bible, let's turn there. 2 Kings chapter 4. And if you missed our message last week, it's about this lady. This lady, she's in this desperate situation. You see, there was a man of God that walks into her town and she cries out to this man of God, saying that my husband is dead and the creditors are coming. And they're going to take away my sons and then they're going to place us into this place of slavery. She's in this dire predicament. And the man of God just asks her, what do you have in your house? And she considers what she has in her house. And she says over and over again that I have nothing in my house. I've got nothing in my house. I have nothing in my house. And then she says, except for a jar of oil. You see, God comes to illuminate that which we already have. Because God is going to use that which we already have to propel us into our future. And you see, you don't need to add anything to your life. You just need to make available what God has already given to you and entrust it back into His hands. And that will move you into your future. You see, and the man of God says, lady, he actually says, go to the village and just collect all these vessels. Collect as many as you can find, and then she shuts the door in her house. She shuts the door to every opinion. She shuts the door to every outside voice. And the man of God says, would you just start pouring this oil? And she poured, and she poured, and she poured, and she poured, and she poured. And this morning, would you pour out your life? Because whatever you and I pour out will flow into our future. And in this passage, there was a never-ending supply. You see, God desires to give each and every one of us a great future. And at the basis of my message a fortnight ago, you see, I made this statement. It says, our present actions determine our future directions. Is that what we do now actually sets us up for the next. You see, it's our desires which determine our priorities. It's our priorities that shape our choices. And it's our choices determine our actions, and our actions shape our future. And that's the underlying basis of the message last fortnight and even today. This morning, would you allow the seedbed of your desires to be on the kingdom of God? And then will you build your life around those desires? Because God says, I'm going to give you a great future and a great hope. And if you missed any more, you can go online. I know Ian puts them online. You can go and listen to sermons online. Just go to Google, search Narendra CRC, and they're all online. By about Wednesday or Thursday of every week, I reckon Ian will get them up by. So if you want to have a listen to anyone that you've missed, you can go there. But if we turn to 2 Kings chapter 4, and the story I was just talking about, it's that following on from that, there's another story. And we're going to pick up in verse 8 this morning. And we're going to read through to verse 17. Starting in verse 8, it said, it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, always have trouble with Bible names, where there was a notable woman and a known lady of great influence, the great lady of prosperity, and she persuaded him to eat some food. And so it was, as often as he would pass by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, look, now I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall and let us put in a bed in there for him and a table and a chair and a lampstand. And so it will be whenever he comes to us, he will turn in there. And it happened one day that he came there and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. And then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite woman. And when he called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, now say to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all of this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? And she answered, I dwell among my people. And so he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, actually, she has no son, and her husband is old. And so he said, call her. And when he called her, she stood in the doorway. And he said, about this time next year, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. But the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her. So this morning, it's this time next year, part two, is that God has declared for each and every one of us a future and a hope. And in verse 8, it said, now, it happened one day that Elisha went to the town of Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him. She persisted to him to eat some food. And so it was often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. There was one thing I noticed about our God when I considered both of these stories, is that he is a God who would meet the woman with great need at her level. But he would also meet the lady who is of notable, of great influence and great prosperity. And also at her level, he would get down and he would meet her. And this morning, the same thing can be said, is God will come down and he will meet you at your individual level. He does not desire you to be in a state of improvement. He is a God who would just come down and meet you at your level and would meet you at wherever you're at your moment of need. You see, the level that you currently have. You see, God's no respecter of people. It's not about your class. It's not about your status. It's not about all of those situational things. It's about where you are positioned right now in life and being reminded that God is mindful of you. You see, the story of a couple of weeks ago was this lady, she's in this desperate situation. And she cries out at the top of her lungs. She wants to get this man of God's attention. And she tells him the position of need that she's currently in. We now have this lady who is influential. She is prosperous. She has a different means of getting the attention of God. Is that she persuaded the man. She persisted the man of God. Is that what? Whenever you come by my house, Would you drop in and have some food? And she persists, and she persists, and she persists and persists. I pray that you would be a people that no matter your situation, no matter where you find yourself, you'll find yourself in the ability to cry out to God in those times, to call out to Him, to express to Him your present need that you may have in your life. There'll be times where you can just persist yourself. And keep believing and knowing that the power and the presence of God will show up in and around our lives. There'll be times when you shout out. There'll be times where you just keep going on. There'll be times where you're just digging. In this story, she persuaded him, when you come by my town, just drop on by. I'll have some food at my place. And it reminded me as I was thinking about that is, I remember as a kid, I was lucky, one of those kids that still had their great nan around when you're growing up. Anyway, my great nan, she lived till she was about 92, 93. And she was the kind of lady that had she never had an electric or a gas oven. It was always a wood fire oven. And she died in maybe 2004, something like that. So not that long ago. But she would cook and cook and cook and cook. And whenever you went there, it would always be stinking hot. because she'd always have the oven fire raging, and she'd have it at the perfect temperature. And you'd go in there, and I've never tasted a Lemington as good as I've tasted her Lemingtons. You know, whether it be those pink Lemingtons as kids, I reckon they were the best. You'd go there, and she'd just cook all this amazing food. And it was sort of like 10 minutes later, she'd say, "You're hungry." 10 minutes later, "You're hungry." She would always feed you. There was never a shortage of supply. It's like, "Come on to my house, you're going to get fed." And I imagine that's what this lady would have been like, is every time you come on by, there's going to be food ready. There's going to be food ready. It doesn't matter what's going. I'm going to have the fire going. I'm going to have the food ready, and you're going to eat, and you're going to be merry, and we're going to spend time together, and it's going to be great. And she persisted, and she persisted. And I look at this story, and for me, it's this such an act of kindness, it's such an act of generosity in her life that she's just saying to God, "Whenever you're passing by, there's always a chair around my table for you. Whenever you pass by, there's always food in my house for you. Would you come by and stop by? Whenever you happen to be here." It's an act of kindness, it's an act of generosity. Do you know, like for me, a table speaks of relationship, to me anyway. You know, like I know when I have a sharing a meal with someone, like we're just getting to start to do it with the twin girls. It's like we've got these high chair sort of things, and we're just getting to the stage where they'll eat the same food as us, and they'll sit there for long enough that you can say things like, "How was your day? Or do you want some more? Yes, thanks." And we're starting to, "How's your day?" And you can have this, it speaks of relationship. And I imagine that's what she's saying there, is, "Come and share food because I want relationship with you." And she persisted. Would you and I continue to remain in that place of being kind and just being a good person, of being generous in every aspect of our lives, because it opens doors into what our future will look like? And in verse 10 it says this, the lady goes and she says, "You know what? There's this man of God," and I know where she says this to her husband, "There's this man of God and we're providing food for him. But I think God wants us to do more. Is there's more inside of us that we can give to God." And in verse 10 it says, "Please," it says, "let's make a room on the wall and let us put a bed in there for him, and a table and a chair and a lampstand. And so whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. You see, we have to prepare for what is to come. That our present decisions and your actions determine your future. We have to prepare for what is to come." And this lady, she's preparing something. She's preparing a room for something that is to come. And she says to her husband, Let us prepare a room. There's so much power in this place of togetherness. There's such power in this place of unity. There's great power in agreement. When two or more would come together, is that anything could be accomplished in the name of Jesus. There's power in your unity this morning, in your agreement, in your household. There's power between this man and this woman, this husband and this wife, as they come together in this place of agreement. There's power for you as individuals when you come into agreement with another person of faith and agreement with God, and then all those things which seem impossible seemingly become possible. I think agreement is one of the most powerful words that God uses. Is we allow the power of disagreement can be so destructive to families, to societies, to nations. But have you considered the power of agreement? The blessing and the authority that flows out of the favor of God actually is when you and I position ourselves in a place of agreement. Because agreement sets a platform for your future. You see, Jeremiah 32, in verse 20, somewhere there, 20, 21, it says, "One can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight." One can put 1,000, but two, 10,000. There's such power in your agreement of coming together this morning. Would you come together in a place of agreement regarding what your future looks like? This word agree comes from a Greek word called symphono. And symphono is made up of two words, or two morphographs. Some, that's my teacher hat on right there. Some, meaning together. And phono, meaning to voice or to say. And so when you put those words together, the meaning of it is something like this. It means to let the same word of faith go forth from us all in harmony. And when you and I are in this place of agreement with somebody, in agreement with the Word of God, it's actually allowing the same word of faith to proceed from all of us in a place of harmony, in a place of agreement, in a place of togetherness. And here this husband and wife are now on exactly the same page regarding what the future looks like. We're building some room. We're making some room in the house to have the power and the presence of God. This morning I want to let you know the enemy is after a number of things, so many things, but he's after your agreement. If he can get your agreement, he can get your future. See, when you come into a place of agreement with each other, it has an exponential growth on your future. One can put 1,000, but two can put 10,000, an exponential impact. And so here we have this lady and her husband, and they decide they're going to build a room. She's not content with where she currently is, and she's saying, you know what, God? I've got more for you. I've got more inside of me because I know this is where we are and this is where we're currently situated and it's not a, and moving forward, I just want more time with you, more whatever it is with you. And she seizes this opportunity and she decides that she's going to make room. You see, earlier, she was just making dinner. But now she's building room. She's building a permanent dwelling place for the presence and power of God. She's making room. She's moved from where she currently is. And she's now building something. She's building like a permanent B&B for the presence of God. Where God doesn't have to book in. He doesn't need to make a reservation. He doesn't need to pay for it. It's just available for God. She's making room. She's building room. And I found this in life is that when we're in those moments, our life changes in those moments where we make a new and committed decision. Like I imagine this week, some of you will make a new and committed decision. You know, 2020 will start and you'll have a New Year's resolution. A new and committed decision, and you'll go gung-ho, whether it be I'm going to lose this much weight, or I'm going to exercise this much, or I'm going to spend more time with my kids, or not watch as much TV, whatever it is, and you'll start off gung-ho. But what I've noticed is in that moment where we make a new and committed decision, our lives begin to change. And whenever you and I make a new, it's a springboard for you and I to have change in our life. I wonder this morning, what is the new and committed decision that you could make this morning? I wonder what the new and committed decision you could make as a household. You could make as a family. See, there's some things that we must do right. It sets you and I up for the future. You see, this lady and her husband, they're going to make some room. They're going to make room for a man of God. They're going to make room. We can do the same. You see, the kingdom of God is about you and I being builders and producers, not just consumers. We can't just be a consumer of the favor and blessings of God. You know, God just can't be on tap when you and I are in a problem or in a situation, is that we can't just have a consumer mentality when it comes to our relationship with Jesus. No, there's an expectation that each and every one of us would be builders and producers to expand the kingdom of God. And this couple, they're saying, let us make room. Let us make room for the presence of God. Would you make room as we move into 2020? Would you make some room for the presence of God? See, when I last spoke, I spoke about the widow who had this little in her life, and she made room by gathering all the vessels, and she shut the door and she started to pour. And as she poured, and she poured and she poured, and every vessel that had some room in it was now occupied and filled by the substance of what she was lacking. This morning, would you make some room? Would you make some room for the presence of God? But how do you and I make room? You see, there's times where you just need to be in the Word of God, and the Word of God makes room for God in your life. It's not just motivational. The Word's not just inspirational. No, it's transformational, His Word. And when you and I are in the Word of God, it creates room in our hearts. You see, His faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's no greater way to making room in your heart for God to bring His transformation over a particular mindset, over a thinking, over an action, over a behavior. Would you make room by opening up the Word of God? You see, we make room by having a heart full of thanksgiving. You see, His thanksgiving in you and I that provides us access. Is the kingdom of God, we see, it has this thanksgiving, it has this frequency that makes room. Would you make room? Would your heart be full of thanksgiving in spite of what you're going through right now? Would you give thanks for the goodness and the greatness of who God is this morning? Would you make room? And we make room by welcoming others into our world. You see, not to judge them, but to embrace them. You see, humanity today doesn't need judging, they need embracing. And by embracing others, maybe they have different faiths. Maybe they have different beliefs or different backgrounds, different value systems than you and I. But as we embrace those ones, it creates room in our heart for another and another and another. Don't judge, embrace. How do we make room? We make room by living a generous life. Just allow the goodness of God to flow out of us and flow out of us and flow out of us and fill vessel after vessel after vessel this morning. Would you make room for God? Because making room for God positions us for a great, great future. You see, last time I spoke, it was pour it out. Pour it out. This time, would you make room? Make some room. Make some room. I found this about God is God fills every available space that we make available to Him. You make room. You make room, and He's going to fill it. You see, in the Old Testament, they built a tabernacle to house the presence of God. But you see, a tabernacle could never house the presence of God fully, because it's bigger than that. And then they build a temple, this beautiful, magnificent temple. And it was never designed to house the presence of God in its fullness. You see, today, we are the temple of the Spirit of God. Is that humanity was designed, you and I were designed to carry the very presence and power of God. The fullness of who He is. Would you and I make room this morning for the power of God? You see, as God would fill every available space that you make available to Him. You see, and this lady and her husband, they make room. She thinks she's just making room for the man of God, but she's making room for a future miracle that's coming her way. This time next year. This time next year, she could have just made dinners for God and provide a seat around the table, and there's food in the house whenever you come by. But no, she's making room. She's allowing her story to continue. This morning, by you and I making room, it allows God to continue His story in each and every one of our lives. In verse 12 it says, "Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call a Shunammite woman. And when he called her, she stood before him, and he said to him, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all of this care. What can I do for you? You see, God, He gets down on her level and He says, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? I wonder this morning if He's asking you that question, what can I do for you? I wonder what your request would be. I wonder what it would look like. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak to the king on your behalf? Well, to the commander of the army. And she answered, I dwell among my people. Is that God this morning is asking each and every one of us, what can I do for you? And here this man of God says, you know what? I can go and speak to the king on your behalf. I can speak to the commander of the army. Lady, because you've made room for me, I'm going to make room for you. I can move heaven and earth because you've made room in my life, in your life, this morning. And God might say to you, what can I do for you? He's mindful of you. He knows where you're placed. He knows your current situation this morning. What can I do for you? And she replies, Lord, I dwell among my own people. I considered a lot about that statement. I dwell among my own people is what she says back to God. God, I'm okay. Hey, I don't need anything. I'm a notable woman. I have influence. I have prosperity. I have no need for you to do anything in my life. And as I considered this, I read a few commentaries. And I would say this lady is in a place of being in complete contentment with her lot in life. I actually thought about that. And on the surface, she may be in this place of contentment. But as I scratch and look a little deeper into this story, is that she was without a child. And I've no doubt that over the prior years is that she had a belief and she had a dream in her heart. And she'd cry out to God at one point in her life because she wanted to hold the child in her arms. And now she's at this place where she's prayed all she can pray. She has not seen the miracle come to pass. And she's decided to just let that dream die. She no longer believes that God could resurrect that dream that she once had all those years ago. The dream to hold a child. And so for me, she wasn't in complete contentment. It looks like she was content with everything. But gosh, she had this dream that she allowed to die inside of her. This morning, maybe you've let a dream die inside of your life. Would you allow the breath of God to come and touch that dream again? Because He's a God of resurrection and He's a God who can raise broken bodies, raise dead bodies. He can raise dreams back to life. And I know this is something that only God, there's some things that only God can fix. And there's things that I can do, but only God can fix particular situations. And don't give up on those dreams that you've had inside of your life because God could ignite them. And as He ignites them, they'll thrust you into your future. I think if we move into our future, we have to navigate this tension as believers. Is it's this tension that one, on one aspect of our life, is everything maybe successful and thriving and going really, really well, whilst on the contrary, in another area of our life, is that there's this trouble or there's this issue that we're working through, is that maybe we have the very best of times in one area and then the very worst of times in another area of our lives. We have to deal with this tension. We have to deal with this tension that we can bring both of our victories and our defeats into the presence of God. Deal with that tension. Hey God, everything seems to be going great here. However, I'm in such trouble here. Bring it to Jesus. This morning, would you bring that into the presence of Jesus? Would you make room? Would you make room for God to breathe again on your dreams? And in verse 14, He said, what then is to be done for her? Man of God is talking to His servant. What now? I'll do anything for her. What needs to be done? For her. And Gehazi answers is that actually she has no son. And her husband is old, and he said, call her. And when he called her, she stood in the doorway. And then he said, about this time next year. About this time next year. And this morning, if you're brave enough, fill in the blank, about this time next year. About this time next year, declare what it is. Have a declaration statement about you and your life. This time next year. What is it that you want God to do in your heart and in your life? You see, it says you will embrace a son. Whenever you and I make room for God, He will always make room for us. Would you make room for God? He's going to make room for you. And I get this picture last week with this lady. She shuts the door and she went and filled every vessel to a place of overflow. And this lady, she's now standing at a doorway. She's standing in this doorway, a doorway that she and her husband had built. And for me, doorways speak of transition zones, places of transition. The doorway speaks that we can move from one space into another space. Is that we can move from one realm into another realm. Is that we can move from one season into another season. Is that we can move from our present into our future. And here she's positioned at the doorway. You and I, this morning, may be positioned at a doorway. Would you and I decide to cross into a great future that God has for us? Is that she built a doorway, which is a miracle for her future. And this morning, you and I, we just need to make room for God as we build doorways of transition into new seasons, into our next, into our future. And here she's standing at this doorway of something that she's built and constructed, and she now has the opportunity to step into the presence of God. This time next year, you'll embrace a son. This time next year, 365 days, 52 weeks, 12 months, you're going to hold something that you have never held before. That during this time your heart is going to come alive, is something is going to happen in your life, and that dream that you thought was dead is going to come back to life. This time next year. And you know what is it? We're starting a new decade. This time in 10 years or 5 years, whatever it is. This time in 40 years. Because we're constantly growing. Don't let life circumstances in your present affect your future relationship with Jesus. This time next year, what are you praying for? What are you believing for? Verse 16. I might get the musicians to come up and we'll transition into communion. In verse 16, she said, No, my Lord. No. No, man of God, don't lie. Don't lie to me. I've been so kind to you. I've made a meal. I've built a room. Don't lie to me. You don't know how many prayers I've prayed. You don't know the cry of my heart. You see, my husband, he's old. You don't promise me something that you're not going to deliver on. Year after year, I've believed for this. And now you come at this point in my life and say, about this time next year. Don't give me false hope. I've given it up. I'm no longer believing for that thing which I once believed for. It's over. It's okay. I just dwell among my people. I don't need anything from you. Don't promise me anything. And oftentimes we can stand in that place when God brings a promise and you actually have that notion or that moment of fear of disappointment which can stop us from receiving the promises of God. Don't allow the fear and disappointment of your past. Don't allow the fear of delay stop you from receiving the promise of God in your future. It's because God's timing is always perfect. It's always right. I remember And most of you would know is that Tone and I, we've got twin girls, we're almost two now. But I remember many a time where you'd have that disappointment and that is this ever going to come to pass, God? But don't let the fear of disappointment stop you from embracing what God's got for you. Tony and I could have given up and we wouldn't have those two little rugrats. Don't allow the fear of or disappointment stop you from believing and receiving what God's got and has placed in your life this morning, this time next year. And in verse 17, it actually says, but the woman conceived. She conceived, and we have a God who will always deliver on His promises. He'll always deliver on the promises. And the woman, she conceived and she bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her. When you and I give God our now, our future is guaranteed. Our future is guaranteed. Would you make those choices now? Because the choices we make now, and this week's a fantastic week for that, because we're transitioning into the next. We're transitioning into the new year, 2020. We've got that time where we sit back and we reflect and we spend time with family and we put the year that was and we look at it and we think about what's happened, and then we start to project into the next. Project into the next. But what we do now is going to determine the next. Would you make some choices this week? Would you make some room for God this week? Because when you make room for Him, He's going to come and fill every space in your heart, in your life. I was thinking about this week as I was preparing a little story that we would... Dave Pohl, he'd probably be great to get up and share the story. It's I can't even really remember the name properly, but I think it's called Jimmy's Heart Trouble or Lifehouse or something like that. It's about this little boy, and it was an old one because it's on a felt. You know, you'd put it up and you'd sit there as a little kid enthralled in this story. And it's about this boy and his life. And it's about every room in his house. And how he's making God available into every room of his house. And he comes in and he cleans up the kitchen. And then he goes to the living room. And then he gets to the toilet. And the last one is his bedroom. You know, his most secret and prized room in the house, his bedroom. And he invites God into that room and God fills every room in the house. And this morning God can do the same for each of us if we allow Him to. If we invite Him into every room in our heart, every room in our house, He'll come into our house, and our house is symbolic of our life. Would you make room in your life for Him? Because as you make room in your life, He'll come into your life. And He'll fill every space that you give Him available to. We're going to sing a song, and then we're actually going to come to a time of communion. And communion for me speaks about relationship. Speaks about relationship with Jesus, which we have available through the cross. You know, like I can't open the doors of my life if it wasn't for the cross. Because for me, I'm only speaking about me. I know my failings. I know my shortcomings. And there's a number of them. And if it wasn't for the cross, I wouldn't have a relationship with Jesus. And so we'll sing a song. And as we sing a song, would you just worship Him? Would you just say, thank you for the cross this morning? Thank you for what the cross means. And as you do, would you even spend some time thinking about your life, your house? And would you make some room this morning? Would you make some room for Him to move in your heart and in your life this morning? And as you're ready, you just partake. You just partake. After the service, if you need a prayer, by all means, come out. We've got a group of people who'll be happy to pray for you. Otherwise, stick around for a coffee. Coffee shop will be open. Stick around for a coffee and have some fellowship. Have a great week. And we'll see you all in 2020.